we come to prayer time, let's just sing that one more time. All my life you have been faithful. You've been so, so good. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Good morning, you guys. You can have a seat. We're going to have a time of prayer. Can we turn the lights down just a little bit, Troy? I was thinking when we were singing one of those songs about, well, God's faithfulness, of course, and how when I was in the seventh grade and I made my way down the aisle to an altar to give my life to Jesus, I had no idea in the seventh grade what that would look like for my life. And I didn't know the ways that God would be so good to me and the ways that I would so often not live up to my end of the bargain, I guess. And over and over and over and over and over again throughout these many, many, many years, that God has remained faithful. God has always been that rock. God has always been the one who has proved himself over and over again that he can be trusted. And I know for many of us, we struggle with that in our human relationships. For many of us, we've been really hurt by people in our lives. Can I just tell you that God is faithful? That no matter what, he is there. And he loves you. And he wants to welcome you with open arms. And so this morning, even as we go into this time of prayer and we think about the songs that we've sung and the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God, and some of you are brand new to this. You've not been through some of the stuff with God yet. I promise you, you will. He will never, ever leave you. Never. So let's pray. God, it is overwhelming sometimes to think about how no matter what is going on, that you continue to love us. You continue to be that constant presence in our lives. That so many times when we have been unfaithful to you, you have remained so faithful to us. Lord, this morning I don't know everything that's going on with everyone who came through these doors, but I do know one thing, and that is that you are walking with them. You are walking with us. You have promised to never leave us. And so, God, today we just want to say thank you. We just want to come and affirm once again that we want to be in this relationship with you. We just want to tell you, we messed up sometimes this week. We didn't maybe do the things that maybe we thought we should do, but you have remained. So thank you. Thank you for how you love us so, so much. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the peace that only you can give. Thank you for the love that you lavish all over us. Thank you for the people that you put in our lives who show us what it means to know you and to love you and be loved by you. And so, God, I just pray that even today you will do something transformational in each of our lives. That even those of us who have been walking with you for many years, that you will do something new and fresh in us. And those of us in this room who we're not so sure about you, we're not so sure, God, I pray that you will give a peace that only you can give in these moments. Transform us, change us, make us into people who look a lot more like Jesus. We love you. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. And so you can stand up with me because we're gonna give some high fives maybe. Y'all, I love this time, and I love it because I get to talk to so many of you kind of in the middle. It's kind of like halftime. And get to hug on some of you if you'll let me. And but this really is our opportunity to extend peace to each other. And this is an important part of our worship, not just because we want to connect with each other. That's really important. It's really important to connect. But also because we want others to receive the kind of peace that only Jesus can give. And we get to participate in that. We get to actually be the hands and feet of Jesus during this time and extend peace to each other. And so let me be one of the first to say to you, maybe, may the peace of Christ be with you this morning. Thank you. I love y'all. So extend that peace to each other. And kids, you can head back to the back.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to start with a bit of prayer, and then we're going to have our scripture reading for today. All right. So let's pray together. Just, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that our hearts are opened, our minds are cleared, so that we can take in what is written and what is spoken, and let our lives be changed as we attempt to understand you. And Lord, help us in our understanding to know that as life goes and things don't make sense as you as we think they should, that we know that you take the bad and you use it for good. You take the hard times and you use them for beautiful things. So open our hearts this morning. Let us understand all that you want us to. In all this, in your name, we praise you. Amen. All right, we start today with Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, or Matt's beard, where's he at? Down on the collar of his robe, as it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Now we turn to Acts chapter 4. This will be verses 32 to 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they had shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them. Sorry, I had to do this on my phone. This didn't work out right. They brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. What an interesting way of life that we have honestly forgotten. John 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them the hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
I go to church every Easter. Can't remember when I didn't attend some church, somewhere, on Easter weekend.
But if you want me to be totally honest
and totally transparent,
I gotta admit something to you.
I'm not sure how the story of the empty tomb affects my life.
Affects my life.
Affects my life.
Please understand, I'm not questioning whether or not it can change my life.
I'm pretty sure there's something in the story that could speak to me.
I'm asking the hardest question of all.
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you. So what?
Hey. So today is going to be different. Welcome to church. Today I'm so excited. We are starting a series called Encounters with Jesus. The word says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so we want to take a couple of weeks and just talk about, have some people share some encounters with Jesus that they have had. And so I am excited. My first guest, Miss Vanessa. Everyone give it up for Miss Vanessa.
You got it?
Got it.
You want this higher or lower?
This is good.
All right.
Oh,
yeah. Do you have any jokes you want to tell real fast?
No.
Okay, all right. So I'm just going to ask her a couple of questions and let her share her testimony, but it's every time I talk with her, it's just amazing. And so, Vanessa, how long have you been coming to PONAS?
Well, I've been coming here now for 13 years, coming this September.
13 years.
13 years, and I was brought here by Betty Garrett.
Yay.
Yep.
Yay. So, tell us a little bit about your life and your encounter with Jesus, like how your life was, the moment that led to everything being different, and how your life has changed since encountering Jesus.
Well, in 2011, I got real sick, and I had to take my early retirement from my job at Horizon Elementary that I worked at for over 20 years. And I just went home. I wasn't sure what was going to be happening, but at that time then I had quit my job. I had no health insurance. And what happened is I got sicker real quick. One night I had to be rushed to the emergency room with liver failure. And when I got in there, test every day for weeks, and they weren't sure everything. My liver had shut down, and I was in there for quite some time, and the liver started shutting down every other organ in my body. And I went from 180 pounds at the end of my illness. When I was sent home, I was 114 pounds. And they sent me home. They wanted to send me to hospice, but they said that I was dying and I had 3 months to live. And I said, well, if I'm dying, I'm going home. And they said, then somebody has to be with you. And if you can't go to hospice, because somebody will take care of you there. But my husband quit work, and he stayed home with me. And I got sicker, and I just stayed in bed. And at that point in time in my life, I knew God, but he wasn't in here. I had went to church all my childhood. I was baptized at the age of 10. My mother's thing was, if you under my roof, you go to church. But I did go to church, but I really didn't learn about the goodness of God. I didn't learn about that. I just thought that after I left my mom's house, yeah, I was busy. I got married at the age of 18. I had a baby. And I just strayed away. I just strayed away and was not leading a very good life at all. And it was 40 years. to I really came back. It happened. Well, I didn't come back. God came back to me. After my release from the hospital, I laid in bed just ready to die. I couldn't talk to God. I didn't know that I could talk to God. I thought I was, that he wouldn't talk to me now, not after 40 years. And I didn't know that he would forgive you. I was never taught that. So I laid there just to die. And it was months that I laid there. In September 29, 2011, this voice came to me and said, get up out of that bed. And I had been up out of the bed to get to the couch and back to the bed, but that was my extent of getting out of bed. And my husband, bless his heart, he just didn't know what to do because he wasn't a Christian either. And he didn't know how to handle that I was dying. He didn't know what to do. So he pretty well stayed away. And he gave me a whistle and said, when you need me, you call me. Well, this night on September 11th, after this voice came and said to get up out of that bed, and I was looking around and I was saying, yeah, I would like to get up out of this bed. And the voice just kept telling me, get up out of that bed and go down to the corner and see the lady, Betty. And I had known her, but I really didn't really even know her name. And but God had showed me. He said, get up and go and see her. So I called my husband in, and I said, we got to go down to the corner and see that lady that lives there. Her name's Betty. And he said, we don't know her, Vanessa. We can't just go down there. What do you want to do? And I said, God just told me, this voice has came and told me to go and see her. And he said, I can't take you down there, Vanessa. And I said, well, if you don't want to take me down there, I got to get there, so I will crawl. And so he finally decided, I'm going to put in the wheelchair. We're going to go down. So we got down there, and she was home. And we knocked on the door, and my wheelchair wouldn't fit through the front door. So we sat on her front porch, and we talked, and she prayed with me. And she had told me that her grandson, TJ, the young man that just passed away, that was her grandson, had come home from night. He lived with her and came home months ago and said, would you pray for Tom and his wife? His wife is dying and he is having a hard time dealing with it. And she said, I have been praying for you for months. And I said, well, I've just been laying there waiting to die. And she said, well, we're going to pray that you don't die. So she prayed with me, and she looked at my husband, and she said, I am picking her up. That was on a Thursday night. And needless to say, we were sitting on her front porch for a long time, and we didn't even know we were getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. But we were. And I didn't because I couldn't feel anything. But we knew the next day that Betty told me, I didn't know I was getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. But my husband said she really can't travel. She can't. It's too hard for her to get in and out of a car. And she said, well, I'm taking her. So she showed up Sunday morning, and the Sunday morning after that, and the Sunday morning after that, and months and months. In months. And a couple times she'd come to the house and I'd still be in my pajamas, and I was like, Betty, I really don't feel like going. She said, they don't care if you come in your pajamas. So she would help me get dressed, and we would go, and we'd come, and we had a certain spot we sat right here, and I came in the wheelchair, and it wasn't but a couple months that I was getting my strength back, but the time that I heard this voice come to tell me to get up out of bed, I was already feeling healing. I was feeling it myself. And nobody would believe me. My doctors wouldn't believe me. My husband didn't believe me. Visitors that came, I mean, they knew what was wrong. They knew that my kidneys had shut down. They knew my liver was gone, that I had not one living cell in my liver. They knew that I was leaving this world. But God had other plans. And he came, and he's the one that said, get up out of that bed. And whether he sent an angel for me to go down there or it was him himself. But when I got here the first time in church, I kind of remember that day. But I was pretty well sick and on a lot of medication. But as every Sunday went by, I was learning. I was hearing about God. I was hearing about things I didn't even know about. And God was filling me. He was filling my soul. And I was reading the Bible, and Betty came by one day, and I had this old Bible that an old dog had chewed up when I was little. The whole front end of it was chewed up, and I was using a magnifying glass because my eyesight wasn't that great, and because it was going also. And Betty brought me a Bible, a new Bible with enlarged print, and I read that Bible. And Betty prayed with me all the time. It was just such an amazing thing, amazing. And I could go on and on of all of the stuff that's happened. But God was good to me. He healed me. When I went to the doctors about a month after that, I said, I'm getting better. And the doctor says, we just want to keep you comfortable. I said, I don't need all these pain pills anymore. I don't need this morphine. And they said, we just want to keep you comfortable till the end. And I say, you're not listening. I'm getting better. And they were like, yeah, okay, we know. The blood work, they wouldn't even take the blood work because they didn't believe there'd be any improvement. So I said, I need you to do blood work. After a couple months, they did do blood work, and my blood work was improving. They couldn't understand it, but I told them what happened. I told them. And they still didn't. I don't think they ever believed me, actually. God was good to me. He was good to me. He healed me. I mean, my liver right now is at 100%. My kidneys are not failing. They're a little weak, but my kidneys aren't failing. And I went from 18 medications that I'm on, two medications now, and one's a sinus medicine. So I am doing great, and
no more wheelchair. No more driving. Which I'm hoping that your vision improved. You never finished that part.
But I did go from the wheelchair to the cane, from the walk. I mean, the wheelchair to the walker to the cane, and then. After the cane was dropped, Betty said, well, I guess it's time for you to start driving me. And I started driving her to church. And it just was an amazing, amazing journey. Amazing journey.
I don't know if you remember this part, but you told me once, it was talking about, they said, like the only muscle working or organ working is your heart.
I was getting released, an Indian doctor came in to the hospital, and he said, Vanessa, he said, every organ in your body is failing. And he said, the only thing that is showing 100%. Your heart is beating and it's doing well. And I didn't know that at that time. I was like, well, I guess I do need my heart. And I didn't know you needed a liver to live too. But he did tell me your heart is working 100%. And that's all that God needed at that time. Yeah. So it just was an amazing journey. And I'm still growing, guys. I'm still learning. God is still showing me new things every day. Every day I'm learning. And I don't think it's ever going to stop. I think it will just continue and continue. And now my husband never believed, ever had been in church, ever in his life. And he is a believer. And he is very ill now. And he always asks me, Vanessa, please pray for me today. You know, I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that. But I'm believing that miraculous things could happen to him also. I'm believing that. And I hope he does. He says that what he has isn't curable, but neither was I had was curable. But I believe.
He was the COVID salvation, right?
He was.
Like he got saved during COVID. Is that,
yeah.
Can I tell that, or do you want to tell? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I remember when we first got here, Vanessa was here regularly, but I had never met her husband. And then I think it was a Christmas Eve, she's like, my family's coming, my family's coming. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I asked for was for us all to go to Christmas Eve service.
That was all I wanted.
Yeah. So I met her family, and then I didn't see him again for, I don't know, a year or two. And then COVID hit, and you're going to have to tell the story. I think the story is something like, he had always said, you can go to church, and you were like, well, now my church is online, so I'm going to church right here in the living room.
Yeah, and he watched church with me, and he didn't sit there the whole time because he does have trouble sitting, but he did watch church, and he does pray. I know he prays. And when he's feeling so bad, he comes to me and asks me, Vanessa, pray for me. And just to give you some way that the doctor is working in our life, just last week, he has a thing that all his bones are fusing together, and he had a big dent in his shin bone, big enough for me to stick my thumb in. And he was having a hard time walking. And I was praying for him to be able to walk because it's so hard. He's so miserable when he can't get up and get around. 3 days later, his shin was flat. That bone came, it just looked like nothing was ever there, a dent or anything. And he was walking fine. He was out of pain. He walked the flea market yesterday down in Allendale for an hour and a half. He didn't buy one thing, and that's another miracle. But he walked with no pain yesterday after that bone had dented in his shin. And when he asked me to feel it, he said, look. He said, I don't know how this is going. How does this work? You know, how does this ankylosis work? And I said, that's not what's working. I said, it's God's work. So I just want to
get us all on the same page for this series. She encountered Jesus in a real way and received real physical healing, right? But did you catch all of the other Jesus encounters that she had in her story? The fact that she just happened to know this lady that because she'd see her check in her mail and God told her to go to that person. The fact that that person's grandson was friends with her husband. The fact, it just goes on and on and on. Yes. The ways that these encounters with Jesus. And more times than not in her story, the encounters with Jesus were encounters that she had with somebody that had Jesus in them standing in front of her, ministering to her, praying for her before she even knew her. Those are encounters with Jesus that I don't want us to miss, because I think so often we're looking for the grand miraculous and we miss all these evidences of God's goodness in our life just because we're so busy looking for the home run that we forget that getting on base is what counts. And so I don't want you to miss it, and I want you to start thinking, because it's hard to start with Vanessa, because it's like, I'm sure everyone else is like, well, I can't top that, so I'm not going to share. No, that's not what this is about. You have different encounters with Jesus, because Jesus comes to each of us. And so I want you to start thinking, how have I encountered Jesus? Through a conversation, through an unexpected encounter with someone that I thought was going to go bad, and it went surprisingly well. Through the way that somebody sent me a note and said, hey, I'm just praying for you. There are a dozen different ways. I want you to start thinking, how am I encountering Jesus? Because I promise you, God's Spirit is all over your life. You just need to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see. Give me clean eyes, clear vision, so I can see what you're doing in my life. Because I believe wherever you are, whether you're sainthood status or sinnerhood status, anywhere in between, as long as you have a heart beating and a breath in you, God's Spirit, God's prevenient grace is seeking you and wanting to guide you and lead you. And so I want you, over the next few days and weeks, to be looking intentionally about encounters that you're having with Jesus. Things that before you would have thought, hey, that was pretty cool. What a coincidence. Hey, wasn't that lucky? All of a sudden you start to say, what if that wasn't luck? What if that was God's goodness? What if that is evidence of God working in my life more than just, man, I sure was lucky. And do you see what I'm asking you for? Okay, good. You got it. Vanessa, are there any other ways that you can think of beyond the healing that you're still encountering Jesus?
Every day. The people I meet, the people that, even my family, I mean, they'll listen to me now when I want to say, I want to pray for you. Or even my family coming to the house for Thanksgiving and Christmas. We couldn't do Thanksgiving this year because my back went out, but this Christmas, I mean, they are so glad that I pray. And when they're having problems, they call me now and say, Mom, will you pray for me? And before, they didn't want to hear anything about it. And now they do. So God is still working in my life. He's putting me out there. And he's bringing people into my life that is helping me so much. And that I'm helping people. I mean, I'm meeting strangers. I'm helping my neighbors. I'm doing things that I never did before. I mean, I lived by Betty for years and years, and I was raising three kids and working two jobs, and that's why I didn't know her. But now I know all my neighbors, and I do things for them, and I talk to them, and God is working every day in my life, every day.
Okay, last question. And I didn't tell her about this until this morning, but is there anything, we've heard your testimony, and prayer is a very common theme through it. Is there any way that we can be praying for you now? Anything that you would say, hey, you're my church family. If you could carry this burden with me, I'd appreciate it.
And you know how much I believe in prayer. You know what it's done for me. And it had to be prayer. There were people in this church praying for me every minute of the day. I mean, there was people praying, and I know it was prayer. And every day that I was feeling better and better. But for praying for right now, pray for my husband, Tom. That's what I need prayer for right now.
Let's do that. So I want you, I'm going to lead, but I want you praying. Don't just listen to me pray. I want you praying, okay? Let's pray. God, I thank you for my friend and her amazing testimony. Every time I talk with her, I feel like I've encountered Jesus because of her and through her words of encouragement. I thank you for her life and her love for you and the way that you have plotted her course and she is following as you lead. God, I pray right now for those of us that have spouses, we know the pain of seeing a loved one that's hurt. We know that Tom watched that for a long time with Vanessa and now the roles are reversed. But we also know that you healed Vanessa miraculously and you are no respecter to anything because you are God alone. And so whether it's sickness or disease, nothing comes across your table that you cannot veto or amend. And so I pray right now for Tom. I thank you that there is a new name written in glory. And it happened when they wrote Tom's name. And I thank you that he's in you. His life is in you. But God, I don't want to miss a chance to pray that you do something else miraculous in his life. God, we pray for healing. We pray that you would do what the doctor says impossible. There are so many people in this congregation that have stories of unexplainable things, and the doctors just say, well, it doesn't make any sense, but I guess you're better now. And we believe in science and medicine, and we know that you heal that way, but we also know there are times when we're called to cry out to you and ask you to intervene in a miraculous way. And I pray that for Tom right now. I pray that even now his body will begin to heal, that you will bring peace into his life, that you'll bring comfort, that if there's pain, that it will go away. God, I just pray that you will make him every bit whole. We pray this in your name, Jesus, the one who has proven that you are victor over death and the grave. We know that this is not too big a task for you. So we pray this in your name, and we trust you to do what's best and in accordance to your will. Amen. Amen. Y'all, will you thank my friend Vanessa? This isn't easy to get up here and share, even when it's people you know, and I'm just thankful.
You know, one thing that I could have never done this before in my old life, I couldn't do this. I was fearful of everything. I had so much fear. I couldn't fly. I couldn't do anything. You know, once I got better and my son was out in Hawaii, I flew to Hawaii by myself 3 times, and I was able to climb the lighthouse. I was so afraid of stairs. God took all that fear out of me and filled me with the good stuff. Good. Yes, yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some more to do.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I kept thinking about the story in the Bible where the four friends brought their friend to Jesus, and the room was crowded. I don't know if you know this story, but the room was crowded, and so they climbed up on the roof, and they ripped the roof off and lowered him down in the middle of the crowd, and that's what it takes sometimes. That's what it takes sometimes. So I hope that we will be like those four friends. I hope that we will be like Miss Betty. I hope that we'll be like Vanessa. And help people understand the goodness and love of God. Hey, we do have some fun announcements because we like to live life together. And we need to know you if you are new or if you've been around for a while and you've never let us know where you live. We'd like to know, or at least your email address. So we've got 2 cards and they're back on the tables. We've got one. If you're new, we'd love for you to fill out this one that says, hey, let's connect. It's a little confusing because they look similar. And on the back, there's some information that you can fill out. For the rest of you, there's one that says, ready to plug in. There are so many ways. There are so many ways that you can serve in this local congregation in ways that impact the world. And so these are just a few ways that you can do that. There are more than are listed. But please, I want you to take a look at that and plug in as you can. We have potluck after church, and I'll come back to that in just a minute. But next week, we have an opportunity to celebrate together. We have an opportunity during our service to talk about how God has been moving in this local congregation and in this community. And so we want you to come because you're going to hear from people that you've not maybe heard from before in maybe different ways. You're going to hear stories that you've not heard before. And so we want you to come. We have to do a little bit of business during that too. But really, really what we want to do during that time is celebrate what God is doing through each one of you. And so make sure you don't miss that next week. Again, we have been talking about The Chosen, Come and Hear, the series. We're going to do that this summer. The reason that we're letting you know now about it is because we want you to be praying for those neighbors, the people in the community. Start thinking about who you need to lower through a roof. And bring them. Because it's a really good series. The way that Jesus is portrayed in this series is so beautiful and kind and funny. It's just a wonderful, wonderful series. And so be praying now. Prepare now. Don't wait until June to be like, oh man, I need to invite somebody to this. No, God is going to start laying people on your heart now. And so start praying for them now. And then during that time, they're going to be like wondering, when is somebody going to show up and invite me somewhere and lower me through a roof? Okay. And then finally, we're going to take an offering in a few minutes. We have an opportunity to serve a family in Ashland City, Tennessee. This is a friend of Butch's, who lost everything in a house fire. His wife is in the hospital. He's pretty banged up too. But they have lost everything. And so we, all the way down here in Tennessee, because we're connected to Butch and Butch is connected to him, we get to serve this couple. And so as you give, there are a couple of ways that you can do that. You can give online. There's a drop down when you give online that says Good Neighbor Offering. So you can choose that if you'd like to give and help them. We have all kinds of ways that you can give. You have okay. Yes, so Butch on Facebook has a GoFundMe as well. So if you want to go through that, you can do that too. Awesome. There's an article too, if y'all didn't hear what Garen said. I'm saying it for the people on there. Y'all could hear what he said. But there's an article too on Butch's Facebook page. You're going to get a lot of new friends on Facebook. You be ready to accept. All your new friends on Facebook. So let's show up, y'all. Let's show up for this couple and help them feel the love of Jesus through what we can give and through our generosity. Yes, ma'am. Butch, what's your last name?
H-A-Y-D-E-N.
I mean, we knew that because he's filled out the Connect card. So, woo! Okay. So anyway, offering is great. Hey, y'all, we normally take communion every week except on the days that we have potluck. And we do this on purpose because we believe that even over a simple meal that we share at potluck, we can rip off a hunk of bread and lift it up and say, this is what I remember Jesus doing for me, because we all have some kind of story to tell about God's goodness. And this is our opportunity as we share a meal together during potluck to just talk about the goodness of God in our lives. And so we invite you to stay, even if you didn't bring food. We've got plenty. I brought like chicken nacho stuff, so feel free to. Garen even made something, y'all. He did. He said, "What? This is dirty laundry." He said, "What are we gonna take tomorrow?" I was like, "We don't make anything for potluck." And he was like, "I'm gonna make something." So. And all the girls in the house are like, uh-huh. So sometime this summer, y'all boys, you're grilling out for us. How's that? How's that? That sounds awesome. Okay. It really did go down like that, didn't it? We don't make anything. He's a good guy. All right. Well, let's pray for this time together, and then Garen will come and we'll sing our benediction. Lord Jesus, thank you for this group of people, and thank you for how so many times you work through physical, actual people. And I pray that as we go from this place, that this week we will be your hands and feet, that we will be your presence to someone who needs to know a little bit about your goodness. I pray that the way that we live, the way that we speak, the way that we drive, the way that we represent ourselves, that it will all be a reflection of your goodness and your love and your kindness, and that we will be examples of that to a world around us who is desperate for something good in their lives. Thank you for an opportunity to eat together. Thank you for the hands that prepared this food, and thank you that we get to share it together. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Oh, if you forgot it was potluck, we have plenty. If you didn't know about potluck, if you're visiting with us, we have plenty. Please stay. Please stay. Stand with me. At our church, we sing our benediction. And so as you're able, sing with me. We sing hallelujah, let your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes. Let your will be done. And as we go in your name, we shout and we proclaim, let your will be done in us. Go in God's goodness, but stay for the food. We'll see you next time.